Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Today's episode of The Instance is brought to you by fans like you. Head on over to theinstance.net and click on our support link. We made this thing ourselves, and we're very proud of it. Show your support and love to the show at theinstance.net.
I'm Ghostcrawler. I am totally off the leash, and you are listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance for Friday, August 16th. I almost said October. August 16th, 2019. It is episode 568. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
I am finishing chewing a very dry breakfast bar, and I thought you were going to do Patrick first.
Well, usually I do, but maybe, just
do
maybe.
Me.
Maybe I saw you do that and thought, well, this would be funny. I'll make him talk while his mouth is full. Maybe I did that on purpose.
Was it funny? Was it funny, Scott?
No.
Did you get what you hoped for?
Turns out my idea of comedy is less than great today. With us also all the way from, I guess, Paris at the moment. I'm trying to guess by the background. Or are you in Helsinki? Patrick,
no,
where are you?
Not Paris.
Where are you?
I'm in Finland.
Finland.
Not in Helsinki, but in Finland, yes.
You're in that country house deal where all the cool people live. That's where you are.
Also known as my house.
Oh.
It's not, you know, it's a country house, but it's where I actually live. So
it's where you get stranded in the winter months. That's where you can't move and you're buried and people have to come dig you out in the winter. I get it. I know where you're at.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Mm.
Also, it's where my son was actually crying for me to pay attention to him a few minutes ago. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, little one. There are important things in life. And doing podcasts is one of those important things. So I'm going to abandon you with your uncle and go do a podcast not listen to your crying pleas.
Thank you for having.
I hope you're happy.
Yeah, I appreciate you having the proper and correct
priorities.
Yeah, that's important as a father, as a father, as a podcaster, as a member of the human race. So thank you for that.
Hey. Listen, my bio on Twitter says podcaster first, French second. It doesn't say dad first. It says podcaster first. So there you go.
Does it really say that? I didn't know it said that. I thought said.
Yeah,
oh yeah, you're right. It does. There it is. I've never looked at your profile.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't like profiles because that's where I find out somebody. Well, never mind. I'll get in trouble if I say it. Never mind.
I can. Let's leave it to the imagination.
Yeah, I had thoughts, but I won't. I won't share them. I will share this though. We're back at it. We got a show to do, and I'm excited about it. This is a crazy couple of weeks. We're coming up on an odd thing. And that is the release of World of Warcraft Classic, a thing that just a couple of years ago nobody thought was even going to happen. And suddenly it's here faster than we all perhaps expected, even though I guess 2017 technically we had an announcement on stage at BlizzCon. And then, I don't know, felt like about a year of not thinking about it. And then suddenly it's here and we got to be ready. And there's a lot to talk about. In fact, we should just do it. So here you go. All right, so World of Warcraft Classic is exiting into full release on, the 20th? Tuesday? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Just in a few days, yeah. A
couple days.
Yes.
The same day they're doing a WoW Classic AMA over there on Reddit, so
A week from Tuesday.
Week from Tuesday. A week from this coming Tuesday. Yes, I keep thinking it's this coming Tuesday. It won't.
I wish it was.
Well,
no. Yeah. So we got basically the end of August.
Yeah.
You're going to have less than a week left in August to start grinding at a slow pace.
At a very, very slow pace. It's going to be October.
It's going to be faster than you remember, though, because you know how to play the game now.
That's a good point. You're not going in totally blind, right? You should be able to.
Dude, like I got to 10 in the stress test very quickly, like way faster than I did when I played back in the day.
Well,
I
define quickly.
10 was like a month long event for me when I first started playing.
Well, that's my memory too, is like 3 weeks or something to get to 10. How fast did you do it during the open beta thing, stress test thing?
I think in like 4 hours.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
I mean, I grouped up with some random people and we were like, you know, chain pulling a bunch of stuff, but
yeah, the thing is you know the game pretty well by nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. So. And that's the thing that we who have, you know, who lived through it the first time, we won't be able to recapture that.
Yeah, probably not.
But I don't think it's, you know, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I think the target demo for this, which are, you know, probably people who were already playing on private servers before, they're not looking to recapture that.
No, they're not. I mean,
so that's.
Oh, go ahead, Patrick.
That's a thing that I've been surprised with. I don't know if you want to get into it now, Scott, but I have thoughts about the reaction to the classic launch, and they're not the ones that I thought I would have.
Let's do that because this is interesting. Patrick sent me a message earlier in the week, and it really struck a chord with me. And that is the basic idea that we're seeing more enthusiasm overall for Classic than we maybe expected, or maybe even more than Blizzard expected. And then you had a couple of theories or an overall sort of our overarching theory about what that could mean for World of Warcraft, the main game, and not just Classic. And we should talk about that. So tell me where you're coming through or from on both those points.
Right. So I think the origin of it is that I'm very surprised at the amount of enthusiasm that we're seeing for Classic. I think we've been pretty clear on this show to say that saying that we didn't think it would generate that kind of hype. It was something
I would
that
like to amend that by saying you didn't think it would create this kind of hype.
I thought Scott was with me at least. Maybe
I'm totally with you on that. I'm with you.
Well, okay. Well, I have disagreed with both of you every step of the way. I would just like to point
out. You were very realistic. You had a better understanding of where the community was. But I'm very surprised that there's this much enthusiasm. As Scott mentioned, I thought it would be, you know, a number of people who were playing on private servers, and that was it. And the thing is, I don't know if those people who are very excited, who are more numerous than I expected, will still be excited once they've played for a few months. And there's then another thing, which is, I wonder if, even though we didn't expect it to be that exciting for them, if they don't have a point in that. What I've been hearing is, it's so exciting to have a little bit of danger and to have more progression. And that is something that you don't really feel now in today's WoW. Mm-hmm. And my theory is that the reason you don't feel it is that you can't, for example, you can't have new spells for 120 levels, right? In Burning Crusade, you had a new spell every 2 levels, mm-hmm. and that was incredible. But at some point, you have, you know, 150 spells and you can't add any more. Other things like, you know, the feeling of not danger, but the convenience of the game, or the feeling of exploration with people who you have to group with and find and discuss with is great for the first 50 hours. Mm-hmm. But then it's, you know, once you get from the leveling process to the end game grind, you don't want to be doing that. I don't think. Maybe you do, but I think that excitement is going to taper off. I still think it's going to taper off after a few months. But beyond
I think it's
that,
okay if it does.
Yeah, it is
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfectly okay. Some people are going to be very happy.
I am fairly certain that I'm going to play it in spurts and then go back to live and play that for a spurt and then return to Classic. That's kind of how I'm assuming I'm going to be consuming this.
And those
when
first,
I'm bored with, right? Those when I'm bored with BFA, I'm going to go to Classic. And when I'm bored with Classic, I'm going to go back to BFA.
And those first 3 months that Patrick refers to are going to be an interesting litmus test for what Blizzard does, depending on the response. So if the response is really strong, but still sees that taper for that initial spurt, then I could see them going, all right, what's next for Classic? It's not just this. We're doing something more. We're either, you know, whatever the long haul is, and we don't know what that
maybe
is.
Below, but the expansions and
right, or not. Maybe there are single instances of here's Classic Vanilla, here's Classic you know, Lich King, whatever.
TBC and Lich King. Yeah. It could happen.
However they do that, that's when they'll decide the roadmap for that. The thing that really grabbed me about what you were saying during the middle of the week was how it may affect the development of WoW Prime, for lack of a better term. So tell me, let's go deeper into that.
Yeah, so that was, you know, it's something I really did not see because I was so, I don't know, focused on WoW Current, WoW Modern. Do we have a name, WoW Prime?
WoW Prime, I like name? WoW Prime, yeah.
All right, WoW Prime, I like it too. Yeah. Are there things that they should bring back from Classic into WoW Prime? Not exactly the same, because again, I really don't think this could work, but with design philosophies of having more difficulty, feeling more in danger, because for things like, oh, the dungeons, you have to speak to people, they did bring it back the way I think they could, which is essentially with mythics. Mm-hmm. Mythics, you have to talk to people, find people, and actually you can't, you know, LFG it. So people who say that doesn't happen, they're never going to entirely remove the LFG from the game. So I don't think that's realistic. But what other ways are there, or could there be, that they would import the philosophy of Classic into Prime at some point? Mm-hmm. I'm very curious about that, if they could.
Right. And that's a big question about what that actually even means. Like, does that mean, let's say that the reception is so strong and player feedback is, they're able to quantify it in such a way to say that, oh, most people really like the return to this because of A, B, and C. And maybe A is the progression. They like it better. They like ranking of spells. They like, you know, they want to go back to a more original way of doing that, and not just the simple change out talent sheet and you know, automatic stuff you get every level, and you would have more choice, more granularity. Maybe that's the thing people really like. Do we see the WoW team begin to bring that kind of stuff back into WoW Prime? And
I mean, they're already talking about a level squish.
Well, so I think, a squish, I think for sure. Already, that's true, but you know what I mean? Like, the way the talent system used to work is so different and so much more. You pay for levels. You have to go to a trainer. Like all of those things. Do you think some of that stuff sneaks back in to the game?
I think it's very possible. The thing is that there's so many there's so many different layers to it, right? There's so many different things you could point to. And Patrick, I think you hit on a really good one that I think most players have an opinion on, which is getting a new ability every level or every other level. The frequency with which you unlock new abilities for whatever class you happen to be playing. I think that's a pretty big thing that a lot of us that have been playing for a while, I don't even think you've had to have played since Vanilla, but all of us have seen that change over the course of playing World of Warcraft, and we probably have some sort of opinion whether we like it the way it is now or prefer it the way it used to be. But there's so many other little things. I mean, just last week we were talking about, I talked about on my Hunter how I miss feeding my pet. That's like the most minor little detail in Vanilla World of Warcraft that has gone the way of the dodo. Mm-hmm. And I would be very surprised if it got added back in. I don't think it's that important, but who knows? Maybe they put out a survey and it's like the second most important thing to a major portion of the player base.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, for me, I don't really like that I can just go to whatever the hell zone I want to go to when I'm leveling up. I miss accidentally going into a zone and instantly dying to something that I had no business trying to fight.
Yeah, but isn't it like a one-time thing, though, right? Don't you just experience that once and you go, oh.
Not in Vanilla, because the world was so big.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many zones. There were so many options. And it's something that I think is more or less impossible to recapture in an expansion, because you just can't make that much those many zones. Like, it's just not feasible.
That's
Vanilla World of Warcraft. Like, leveling was so much of the experience, where basically from BC and onwards it's been a gauntlet to end game.
Patrick, you're gonna say,
well, that's the problem, really. The impossible circle to square is it does work when you're leveling, and I would even argue it works the first time you're leveling to an extent. But once you've done it three times, I don't know if people would really enjoy doing it for every expansion in that much of a difficult manner. Maybe they would. Maybe I'm wrong, and they would like to, you know, have a somewhat difficult experience for every expansion. But it seems unlikely to me. And there are a ton of things that work for that leveling experience, but not afterwards.
Oh yeah,
even if it's still leveling, like the spells, for example, the new abilities. At some point, you're going to get to a number of expansions where you have, as I was saying, like 60 different spells, or you know, however many, and you can't bring more of them. Like you're not going to have them every two levels anymore. That's just not going to happen. And I don't know how you solve that. Something that I would love to see happen. Obviously, having spells that change the way you play is one of the main draws of World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have more spells with the new expansion. But they've sort of emulated that with other things like the artifacts, which are a new way of progressing. Essentially, they give you new spells. They had the, you know, what's the name of the one for this expansion?
The Necklace of Doom.
Necklace of Azeroth.
Yeah.
The Heart of Azeroth.
The Necklace of Azeroth. That's it.
That's the Necklace of Azeroth. Yeah. So it's things that I'm not sure. The dangerous zones, maybe, because now you have level scaling for every zone, but then you can't really go play with your friends. I don't know. You know, it's the kind of thing, I always tell that story of the idea of EverQuest, where you can steal, maybe it was EverQuest, maybe it was something else. If you're a thief, a rogue, you can steal other people's stuff. And that was so exciting as an idea, as a concept. But in reality, it ended up sucking when you were the one whose stuff was being stolen. Mm-hmm. So the cool idea isn't always actually that cool, right? I think in theory it's great, but in practice it doesn't always work.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that there's so many different things we could point to and pull from in Classic. I think it's really hard to zone in on like what the correct thing to bring back to World of Warcraft is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you made another really good point with Mythic and how that, you know, at least partially brings back the kind of old school putting together groups by hand and having to travel to the dungeon. I think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. You can make the argument that if you came to this game, let's say in the middle of Wrath of the Lich King, arguably that represented the most polished version of the original game before major changes would come. So pretty much.
Are we talking pre or post LFG tool?
Let's say pre LFG,
because like Lich King, that's the turning point, isn't it?
Yeah,
like is like the end. That the pre LFG tool is like peak old school World of Warcraft.
I agree.
Then the second the LFG tool hit, it's like, oh, this is the future. It's like the Tesla Model S has shown up, and everybody with their Mustang GT is sweating a little bit about the future of petrol engines.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
I understand the issue with the LFG tool, even if you have it for dungeons, but you also have Mythic, it's the same with the looking for raid. It kind of cheapens the experience a little bit. And if you've done it in LFG, then you don't necessarily want to go back and do it. There is something magical about having to actually grind for, and you know, find 40 people to get a group for Molten Core together. There's something really magical, but I don't know. Does it actually work in the context of players having played for 15 years?
For a consistent amount of time. I mean, honestly, there's a reason why these changes occurred in the lifetime of the game. So I don't think it's fair to look at everything that the vanilla is going to do and go, oh, the way it was meant to be. When things like LFG, LFR, no more waiting at stones, going from 40 man down to 25 man to make it more manageable, then 10 man for people who couldn't get bigger groups. Those were all responses to what players wanted. We were all thrilled at the time at those changes. And I'm not convinced. There's a lot of people that just are very rose-colored glasses that vanilla was the only way the game was ever any good. and that these other things don't represent improvements. They represent the downfall of their favorite game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
So like, I guess the question is, how can they bring back the spirit of those things without having to bring them exactly as they were, which also brings with it tedium? Again, we're getting back into impossible circle to square territory, but is it possible to bring back the spirit and not the tedium?
I guess. I hope.
You're obviously brilliant game designers, both of you. Please find a solution to this to these problems.
Obviously, yeah. I think time will tell.
Blizzard developers haven't managed to.
I think it needs to come out. I think it needs to come out. And Scott, I'm with you. Obviously, I've seen the same. I've seen the same sentiments of the hardcore of the like the classic guard that believe that that's the only way that the game should be, and I disagree with them, but it's whatever. Like, cool, I'm glad they're stoked,
right?
The only time it bothers me is when they come after folks who enjoy the live game and try and convince them they're wrong for liking something that makes them happy,
right?
Which is really what rubs my ass the wrong way about any fandom. But again, I think the truth, as it always come around to on the show, it's somewhere in between. I think those of us with level heads, whether it's Patrick, who I think is just going to hate this no matter what happens, versus like the hardcore who will never touch the live game again, I really, you know, think that there's good things to both sides for sure. I like a lot of the improvements to World of Warcraft over the years. But I do miss things from Classic. The truth is somewhere in between.
Yeah, I think it also. I think it also will have this is something I haven't talked much about, but I think it will have a positive effect in one way that's a purely psychological one, and that is at least we'll have it, and we can quit talking about a thing that's a time in our past where we don't remember all the details. We just remember the good times and rarely the bad times. That's human nature. We do it with everything. We do it with kids. When they get older and they're wonderful and they're graduating high school, you don't go, but remember that time they barfed for 8 days? Man, that was rough. Like, you don't do that. You think about all the good.
I'm already starting to forget the horror.
See?
Already.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a part of who we are. And to have that there right alongside WoW Prime is going to be good for us, because it's a way for us to go, oh, all right, I forgot that was a thing. I just finished playing it over here, and that's very different. I totally forgot that was a thing. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like, we'll have a more proper real-time perspective on all of this, and I think that's valuable just across the board, no matter who you are or how much you intend to play.
Yeah, and honestly, like, to wrap up my thoughts, like, I don't think there's a correct answer. I think you might just prefer the way Classic does things, and someone else might just prefer the way the live game does things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like anything that's creative. I'm going to talk as general as I possibly can right now. You cannot be all things to all people.
No.
And it's foolish to try.
Right. We can be some things to a few people. That's it. Yep. That's about as far as
I mean, WoW certainly tried to be the everything game for a while. And I think it succeeded better than most games.
Oh, yeah.
I think it succeeded for way longer than I expected it to.
Oh, sure.
I think they're still succeeding quite well, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that Scott and I were talking about how it was kind of crazy that it took until basically 2019 for like true contesters to the WoW throne to really build.
Yeah.
Like ESL and Final Fantasy 14, they've been around for a while, but it really feels like this year both of them have really become like solid, like god tier
and actual competition. Yeah. Like especially in the case of Final Fantasy 14, which to me seemingly came out of nowhere. To those following the game, certainly they saw it coming, or maybe they already knew it was good. But that game is all anyone's talking about these days. And I think Blizzard is actually lucky to have Classic in the pipeline, because it is demanding attention. It is getting people to come back. According to quarterly earnings, which we'll talk about in a second, they've had an uptick in WoW subscriptions, and they attribute that to people getting ready for Classic. So I think they actually ended up strategically needing Classic from a business standpoint, because there was an awful lot of people, I know anyway, anecdotally, diving over to Final Fantasy 14 in pretty big droves. And that was surprising. It's surprising in 2019 that any other monthly pay MMO like Final Fantasy 14 or ESO, which is free to a point, but you're buying the games and the expansion, sort of Guild Wars 2 style, for those games to have such a strong showing and to have such have such a foundation in 2019 against the Lord of all MMOs, World of Warcraft, is pretty intense. And it's good. It's actually really good. It's good for us as WoW players and people who want to see good things come from WoW. I think that no matter what you think of Battle for Azeroth, the next expansion in WoW Prime has to be a coming back to greatness. It just has to be, or they're in trouble.
I mean, let's not, you know, Legion was arguably the best expansion ever.
I agree.
Some people will say, oh, are you kidding me? It's like Wrath or whatever. Maybe.
Dude,
but
I will arguably agree with you, and I am an Arthas fanboy. Like, if you ask me, my answer is always Wrath, but I will say, if I take my Arthas fanboyism out of it, Legion. It's just Legion.
Legion's great.
The greatest thing that ever came out of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Right.
And it just happened before this one. Will you forget how close it was to the thing we all dislike kind of now? It's a real bummer.
It's World of Warcraft. Basically, every other expansion is good.
I guess so. It's like Star Trek movies, isn't it? It's kind of like that. Anyway, yes, Patrick.
I wouldn't know. I've only watched Wrath of Khan from beginning to end. The rest of them, I think, are unwatchable.
Oh my gosh! You can't say that about whatever. I'm probably alone in this, but I really like First Contact and I really like Nemesis. And I know I'm on the.
I don't think you're alone in this, Scott. I didn't grow up watching Trek.
As you said, you can't be all things to all people.
True.
Star Trek is not your thing to you.
Right. It's not to me. That's why I led with, I think it's unwatchable.
Right.
Not it is unwatchable.
And I've had a couple of people ask me, oh, but you're not even going to try Classic? And sure, I'll create a character. Actually, I did create a couple. But I think I remember Classic vividly. I absolutely know what it's going to be like. So my impression is that I will be playing for 10 minutes, maybe in half an hour, and I'll be like, oh, okay. You know, I remember that.
That is a quick
it's
dip.
What I, you
10
know,
minutes. That's insane. It's,
but, you know, I remember exactly how it was.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some people played as much as I did and we did, but I played hundreds of hours of Classic, not just overall all the expansions like vanilla. And I don't know. The thing that is a little bit sad, in my opinion, is that we will never know. We'll never be able to settle the debate of are people playing Classic or not. Maybe there's going to be a way to pull the databases, but Blizzard is certainly not going to be revealing data beyond the, oh, there were 15 million characters created in WoW in the first week, you know, and then they're never going to talk about it.
Metric anyway, because you can make like
eight
characters.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good
point. And everyone's going to try it. The interesting thing is how many people keep playing it. And that I think we'll never know.
All right. So here's a question I wanted to ask. I got asked this question because it's been bugging me since yesterday. I was having some sort of Twitter back and forth with a bunch of people. Garrett even chimed in on it. It's even more fortuitous that we do it now because Patrick, his entire connection to the show started as Patrick the add-on recommender. It was all about mods with Patrick. And so
that's on my business card, by the way. The add-on recommender.
The add-on recommender.
That's right. Hello, this is Patrick. I mean, all of our recollections
extend
really
to like everything in life. If I want to like modify my kitchen, can you tell me what appliance I should pick up next?
Your sex life, your
wonderful, cool.
Like
what toy should I get?
All
how
of
do
it.
You send feel me a tweet. About swings?
Yeah, all of it. Ooh. Maybe I don't want to know about
that. I have to. Those are only available through private consultations. So that's, you know, the WoW mods are the free tier, but then there's a premium tier for Love Life.
If
you give me your credit card number, I'll be happy to help you out very quickly.
Okay, thank
Coming
you
Coming soon
that.
To a podcast listening near you, Patrick.
Yeah.
Love Doctor.
That's amazing. That's a podcast I'd listen to. FrenchSpin.com, everybody. Watch for it coming this fall. Anyway, Excellent. What was my point there? My point was, so add-ons, I'm starting to see, so they've been publishing lists over on WoWhead and other places of add-ons that are ready to go, that already work. It's like even during the name selection stuff, there were like functioning add-ons for the game. And they include a lot of the stuff you may remember from sort of, I don't know, the mid days of vanilla. But it also includes a bunch of stuff that didn't exist then, but they're going to put them in anyway. And I guess I don't get that. I guess I don't understand if you're super going to be into Classic. I'm not saying don't play with mods, but if you're really trying to relive the era, running something like, what's that autopilot one? I don't know if I have the name right. But they basically
there were a number of like quest trackers and things that were added to the game because so many people were using the mods that essentially it was not mandatory, but everyone was using them. So it was.
But they weren't using them. They weren't using them in 2004 at launch. They were using them like some of them just before BC or during BC is the first time I ever used Quest Helper, for example. I don't know that like on launch day on the 20 whateverth, the people loading up something like Auto Tracker or the one that basically just kind of just tells you where everything is, that just feels weird. I don't know. Like maybe you don't really want Classic. Maybe some of the quality of life things Blizzard has done over time has been great, and it would be cool if we could play, I don't know, we could choose to play the old world with new world ideas, group looting changes, and, you know, tagging change. You know, there's a lot of quality of life stuff that's happening.
You mean the way it's possible in WoW class, in WoW Prime now? Yeah,
yes. I guess they can go play WoW Prime. I guess. But that's my point. Like, why? Yeah. I don't know. I realize
I think
that
a lot of... Well,
go ahead.
That comes down to what we were talking about. I mean, it's not going to really create an LFG, I don't think. Mm. And maybe the people who do want those conveniences are going to stay on Prime, but the people who don't, maybe mods aren't going to be that popular. I'm sure during the initial launch period, they're not going to be very popular, the mods, right?
Yeah,
people are going to have the pristine experience in the beginning, and then they're going to start installing mod when they when they've played for a few hours at least.
I assume so.
I would guess.
So I didn't agree with your tweet.
No, you did not.
The sentiment, because it plays into a sentiment that I see around, and it just rubs me the wrong way. Of that, there's a certain way you should play Classic. And if you don't want to play it that way, why do you want Classic? And I just don't understand why we care. Mm. Like, why does it matter if we play Classic with mods?
It's a fair point, and it doesn't.
So far.
It doesn't. I guess what it is it seems like it smacks of, and this is just a me thing, so I actually think you're right, fundamentally right about this. But I guess I'm annoyed that the hardcore, the game back to what it should have been and never changed ever again. Oh, by the way, I'm going to run a bunch of mods that make it feel like at least, you know, Mists of Pandaria era. Like, I feel like it just contradicts their purity stance. So this is just me throwing shade on a portion of the player base that I don't even know how many people that is.
This is something Kyle had to talk about a lot. We almost never talk about it on shows, but behind closed doors, we talk about we need to come up with I don't know a term for this, but like when you're in content creation and you're dealing with like reporting on forums and Reddits and community reactions, when that's your job, when you do a show like this and you have to talk about what Reddit's talking about, Kyle and I talk about how like we have this thing that we need to stop and think about pretty often, which is we assume every hot take we see is written by the same person. Mm-hmm. So even when it's horrendously contrary to the last big discussion topic, we just assume it's the same person, whereas it could be a completely different person.
Yeah.
So the person that's, you know, getting on you because you enjoy the live game and being like, oh, you're not a real WoW fan, you should play Classic, that's the real WoW. Yeah, like, F that guy. That guy might not be the same person that's like, yeah, woo, loading in all the add-ons.
No, that's a
good
point.
Well, it's definitely true, and that's the beauty and the curse of the internet, that you can talk to every person in the world, so you're going to have always going to have someone.
The older I get, the more of a curse it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. But you're always going to have someone who says the thing you think people say. And as Garrett said, it's not always the one same person. But that being said, I do think there is a point in what Scott is saying, that if the reason for wanting Classic is that those conveniences have, you know, changed WoW and made it less enjoyable in some ways, it is a little bit strange and surprising that you would bring the conveniences back.
If you're that person, yes.
It's not like the end of the world, but it is a little bit.
If those are the conveniences, if those are the reasons that you're bugged, yes, I agree. There's probably somebody like that. But it's probably a lot of different combos. Like, they're going to be people who are like so excited for a level cap of 60, a slower progression experience, a talent tree they love, and they actually would love all those other conveniences. So they're going to add them as they can with add-ons, but that's what they're aiming for. They're going to be other people that just want the pure experience and they don't edit anything. And they're going to be other people
that's,
who are
going to
try.
That's going to be my wife.
Yeah, they're going to be people like that.
Hardcore, I don't want to use add-ons, and I don't understand why. I personally, I'm really excited that we're going to be able to use add-ons, because the perfect classic WoW for me would be a classic WoW that they're not afraid to adjust and make changes to. I would like to see a modern version of classic WoW. I think that would be super cool.
Yeah.
But they're not getting that, so at least I can get some features that I like through add-ons. I mean, yesterday when you sent that tweet out, I think right before that, then you retweeted the Blizzard Watch article, right?
I did, yeah. That's where I got it.
Yeah, like nothing in here is game breaking. This is just all like pretty basic quality of life stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like a quest tracker. It's like, yeah, so I don't have to check my bag to see how many Highborn relics I've picked up. Like, cool.
Yeah, but you know, I agree that there's a lot of what people say when they say they enjoy, and I'm being guilty of what you talked about earlier. I'm saying essentially it's all the same person, but a lot of people seem to be saying, what I don't like in current WoW, or what I appreciate in WoW Classic is, you know, I pick up a quest, I actually have to read it, and I don't just fly or, you know, get on my horse for half a second and pick up all the stuff and turn the quest in. I actually have to think about the quest and do it. Mm-hmm. And the add-on negates that, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm not one of those people, and I want classic.
Right.
So I don't like reading quests, so I can't wait to not have to.
That's a good point.
I guess there are still, no matter how many add-ons you add, there are still some things that are unique to classic that you can't add on out, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's certain.
I don't know. I've always erred on the side of whatever. If it's public knowledge, if you can find any way to streamline the gaining of that public knowledge, I don't care. I'm totally fine with it. Bring it on.
All right. I mean, in a way, that was some of the grassroots fun of early add-ons was players were coming up with solutions. So that was the player base saying,
yeah,
well, what if this wasn't like this? We could do that ourselves. Let's make a thing. Okay, cool. A guy made a thing. Let's all support that thing. Let's install that thing. Like in a weird way, that is a grassroots sort of vanilla experience to see those mods flourish. Mm-hmm. It's just that Blizzard decided.
I mean, add-ons are still here.
Oh yeah, sure. It's just that Blizzard decided.
All use many of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just that Blizzard decided to integrate a lot of it in base game mechanics, and
the quest tracker is a really good example of that.
Sure, and you know, when you start that game, I mean, if you haven't dabbled in the stress test or the beta or any of that, when you go in there and get your quests and you realize your first one tells you to go to a place, and that place is on the map somewhere. But you got to go reveal it and find it and then figure out what part of that little place that thing might be in. There are no dots. There are no zones of like a little circle with a blue hue to it to tell you where the stuff is. There's no glowy. Remember this, too. There's no tinkle, tinkle, tinkle happening on the plant you got to pick. Like
that's a relatively new addition.
Yeah. Well, it is. You're right. I mean, when did we start seeing that?
Is it, though? Is it like Cataclysm?
Cataclysm, yeah. Cata.
I think it was Cataclysm.
Yeah.
Was it Cataclysm?
I think it was Cataclysm. Might have been.
Pandaria.
Might have been Pandaria, but I think Cata.
Okay, maybe.
My brain says
I still think of it as new. Yeah. I still forget sometimes that
thing. Oh, that's the thing. Anything that is older than, I don't know, what Wrath is new. Not older, but newer than WoW.
Anything newer than Wrath still seems, yeah, like new to me. I still chalk it up to new.
Here's my favorite conversation I've seen in the chat. Wargus AIE says, go find Mancrick's wife. And Dice Tomato says, good luck with that shit. I mean, that's basically that's basically the division, right? It's do this that is old the thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. To me, again, it comes back to like, this is just, it's such a big game, whether it's live or classic. Like both of these are such big games with so many aspects, so many different ways to play. You know, maybe you like reading the quest text. I don't, you know, for me, it's still going to be slow because like, I still just can't run in and bum rush the entire den of furballs because I'm going to die. I'm going to have to plan out my pull. And that's something I don't have to do in the live game right now. Mm,
right.
That's very true, yeah.
First, some clarification. There's someone in the chat is under the impression that you can, that all the graphical stuff is up to date unless you turn them down to old vanilla, and that is not correct. None of the new models are in there. None of the water stuff. None of anything.
I'm not sure. Let's see. What were they?
It's all draw distance and widescreen. That's all you're getting.
And lighting. There are real-time shadows.
Oh. Oh, so there's not a little circle shadow under my butt? And hadn't noticed.
That is why there. When you go into graphics, that's why there's a classic button. You hit it, and it brings everything down to the best they could have been back in the day.
Got it.
There are a lot of the lighting, the shadows, the draw distance, all of that are way past where classic was.
What they played in...
and ground clutter. Ground clutter is a big one.
Yeah, ground clutter is a
and
thing.
I also noticed, because I when I was in the... one of the stress tests. I started the night elf. Not only was it a ton of ground clutter, but the shrubbery on the ground that's part of that ground clutter slider actually moves when you run through it. And that was something that was added after the fact.
Oh, that was way out.
There's a lot of graphical improvements in class.
I'm a little surprised by that. When I played it at BlizzCon and in the first stress test, they didn't have any of that in there. The circle shadow was there at BlizzCon during that little playthrough we did. So this is relatively new. I was unaware of that. So I guess there are settings. I thought he was saying like, oh, the new models and the new everything. And no, you don't get any of that.
Yeah, I would like that. But it would also look weird if they didn't update the armor. Yeah. Then you're going to have low res armor on new models, which some people are still doing. Because let's be honest, the best bikini armor is all from vanilla.
That's true.
So you see that happening in the live game sometimes.
I got an email.
It does look weird.
My favorite email this week, I got an email. Somebody said, do you know if we... we'll have the old or new Worgen models in Classic. And I had to...
Worgen?
Yeah, Worgen.
Worgen?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Worgen. Yeah, I know. That's the point. Oh. So I wrote back and said...
I thought you said Worgen.
No, like, Worgen.
Yeah, me too.
What keeps you alive? What digests your food?
You know, the goblins and the Worgens, you know, those? So I said, I wrote back Worgens. And I said, you have forgotten. They didn't exist as a playable race and or anything. Well, I guess there's some werewolves, but...
I bet they were trolling you.
They might have been. He seemed.
I bet they were being funny.
He seemed like he really was asking, but I don't know. You can't tell on the internet anymore. I've given up on trying. You can't tell. Doesn't work anymore. Speaking of things that don't work anymore, let's talk about the mad rush to get your name. Did everyone get a name? I got Gert, but only through the help of a friend. I had to perform a wedding the night they opened that up, and I couldn't be there.
And was that the one that the Salt Flats?
Yeah.
It was magical.
Yeah, it was really mad. It was crazy. It's like another planet.
I did not. I was there at the stroke of whatever time it went live, and I made it through 5 times through the locked server.
Yeah.
And then when I would go to create my character, it said I couldn't create a character because I don't already have a character on this realm. That happened to me 5 times.
Oh!
And by the time I finally got through, I was in a 7,000-person queue, and I missed out on my name.
Oh, man. Well, big shout out to actually 2 people. I can't remember the one guy's name, but on a different server, got GURP if I want it there. And also on the Pagel server, which is where AIE is mainly at, Tetsemi snagged it. And so GURP is waiting for me. So once again, by the kindness of others, I survive. Patrick, did you try to even do this? Did you care about the name thing? I'm guessing not as much.
I did it earlier today. So it was like 2 or 3 days late. Mm-hmm. Because I hadn't even installed Classic until then. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to install it. I was like, oh, should I put it on my SSD? I only have like 200 megs left. And I looked at it and it's like 2 gigs. Oh, sorry. I meant 200 gigs left.
Yeah.
And it's like the whole game is 2 or 3 gigs. It's so
yeah, it's funny. Nothing. It's like under 4 gigabytes.
Used to come on like 4 CDs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, I did. I got not my original name for one of my characters, but I got one of the original ones and a variation for the other.
It's, nicely done.
It's fine. I
didn't even try to get Roy again because Roy is super hard to get. 3-letter names aren't gonna work.
I'm super salty about it. It was a total shit show, and I'm mad.
So it is the actual experience from Classic, so that's perfect.
Yeah, you've really recreated it in a way that I wasn't expecting. That's fantastic.
Yep.
All right.
My wife got through. She got her name.
For those who don't remember, you really had to look for a name for 15 hours to try and find something that wasn't already taken.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's still the case now, but we... have our names.
Yes.
It only gets worse with time, Patrick. So I don't know what story you were trying to regale the children with.
Well, because we're not so many people are creating so many new characters nowadays. Of course it happens, But back in the day, it was like, oh, awesome, this new game. I'm going to be role-playing it, and the perfect name, I found it. That's Taken. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to try a variation with, you know.
I don't know if Guild Wars 2 had it, but I loved in the first Guild Wars that you had a first name and a last name. So it was way easier to come up with something that was spelt correctly.
Something else does that I played recently. What did I just play that does that?
I think it was Final Fantasy.
Maybe it is. Maybe 14 has two names. I
think 14 has two names. I don't know. I started playing it for half a second and I was like, this is fun. I just want to play classic.
Yeah. I like surnames. Surnames in video games is cool. I wish more did it. But then again, I always go for short names like Roy Gerp.
So I talked about how my original name was St. Jimmy after a Green Day song. What I didn't mention, because I didn't want people to go for it, was that on Lightbringer, a launch server for World of Warcraft, I have Saint, just Saint, spelt correctly. And that's what I really wanted to get.
That's pretty good.
I missed out on it.
For classic, man. Yeah, that one's probably gone. All your simple names are going to be gone. But, you know, there's room for Saint Augustine or Saint Salty. Be Saint Salty. There you go.
I bet you Saint Salty's taken. You money.
All right.
Because Katie got through and she got her name and then she grabbed Saint Jimmy for me. And then I was like, we'll see. Well, first she tried Saint and she couldn't get it. I was like, all right, let's see if you can get Saint Jimmy spelled correctly. And she did.
It's our wife's job. My name. It's our wife's job to grab Saint
Garrett
Jimmy.
Garrett is taken as well. So I was a little mad about that.
I was going to make a bad joke about grabbing your Saint Jimmy, but I won't. I'll leave that one right there. But I'm glad your wife grabbed your Saint Jimmy. Okay. Hey, look at this. Blizzard Activision did their second quarterly earnings call. This all sort of happened in the middle of the night. Not really. It was all fine. It did it like normal. And on that call, they claim that World of Warcraft subscribers increased since mid-May following the release date announcement and beta for World of Warcraft Classic. And they believe the rise of Ashara update, both of those things they think contributed to an uptick in subscribers. And they also said across Call of Duty, Candy Crush, Warcraft, Hearthstone, Overwatch, and Diablo, they are expanding their development teams and resources so they can accelerate the delivery of content in the pipeline, pursuing new business models, broadening communities, and delighting players. I think the addition of Diablo in that list is interesting. Irritated that Heroes is not in that list. I still buy things there. I think they should be talking about it. Anyway.
And Scott Johnson is still buying stuff on Heroes.
I am. I love Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes is doing great right now. They don't need to expand. They don't need to expand.
They can do whatever they need. Is doing
just fine.
They're doing fine. The content's been great. This new character's great. They got new stuff in the pipeline. The game's never played better or felt better to me. It's the most fun I've ever had in it. It's redheaded stepchild status just continues to rub my cheese. But that's fine. That's a me problem, and we won't dwell on it. Blizzard had 32 million MAUs. That's monthly active users across all those games. That's just Blizzard, though. I don't know if that counts like Call of Duty, Destiny stuff that's in the launcher. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
That's a good question. But Destiny's not going to be on the launcher that much longer.
No, you can go buy it on Steam now. Already,
I'm guessing they don't, because they also count the Call of Duty, the Activision monthly active users, which are essentially Call of Duty. So I don't think they would be allowed to count them twice.
Hey, man, I still play Guitar Hero 3 every now and then.
Do you really?
No. I have Rockman 3 for the current generation of consoles, so there's no reason to ever play anything else.
Oh, do you guys see? This is totally unrelated. I just saw Garrett with his lightsaber over his neck, and it reminded me of the Doomhammer for some reason. Did you guys see Bill Duran's Doomhammer that he made?
Recently?
Freaking believable. Yeah, in the last week and a half or so. It's mostly foam and stuff because he's really good at foam stuff, but I have never seen a cooler replica of that damn Doomhammer. It is beautiful.
Is it for BlizzCon? Or?
No, he just did it.
Googling it right now.
Just did it for a video. Just did it for his site. And if you go to punishprops.com and look at it, you'll be just like, oh. I sent that to Chris and he was like, what the
fuck? Holy freaking crap.
I know, right? Isn't it something?
Phil, dude, you're just kind of like a master now.
It grosses me out how freaking talented he is.
I'm just done. I'm done being impressed. Like, everything he makes is just perfect.
Here, Chad, I can show you guys as well. Let me paste this in here. It is really something else. There it is. Just a beautiful, beautiful freaking...
Dude, I want to move to the Northeast just so I can hang out, or Northwest, just so I can hang out with Bill.
Yeah, just for, I just even for a day would like to just sit and watch him make this stuff, because that to me looks as good or better than the one that they sell, the big metal one. And that thing weighs only like, he told me it weighed like, I don't know, 2 pounds is all, because it's mostly foam. But it'd be the perfect cosplay. Jeez, I don't know how he does it. Anyway, really, really nice. Coming soon, GURPS Perfect Arrow. Watch for it. All right. Where are we? Oh.
It is very nice.
It is nice. Hearthstone. Their monthly average users increased quarter to quarter following the release of Rise of Shadows, that expansion. And they said deeper and more engaging single player content in the quarter. Overwatch's MAUs were relatively stable quarter to quarter, with engagement increasing following the release of the workshop. And it said at Blizzard, daily time spent per player increased year over year. So that's interesting. At Blizzard, daily time spent per player. So if you break down all the work that happens at Blizzard and you apply it to players, that math, that's interesting to me.
So no, anyway. It's the time people spend playing the game.
Well, let's see. At Blizzard, daily time spent per player.
Yes, it's just for Blizzard as a company.
Oh,
for
I Blizzard thought, games. Okay.
They're talking about the time.
Report on King or,
you're right.
Or maybe it's, you know, the time that Blizzard employees play every day.
Yeah,
which is very possible.
A lot more than people know. Yeah. Although I hear
on that, and as soon as Jalen Brack can no longer expense hair ties, it's going to save Blizzard a lot of money.
I would also, I would say, well, I've heard from some internal people whose names I will not say that there was a lot more internal playtime before the big crunch, the recent layoffs, and now it's like way less. People just play way, way less. And I think it effectively killed their Pokemon Go team, but I don't know. Anyway, how about this one? Overwatch League hours viewed continue to grow year over year in the two stages held in quarter two. Season to date, viewership and average minute per or audience has grown to double digits year over year. Blizzard's quarter two net revenue was $384 million. Operating income was $75 million, so that's a 20% operating margin. Revenues and operating income declined year over year, reflecting lower in-game revenue. And operating margin fell year over year, with the revenue declining partially offset by lower costs. So they're doing all right, kind of holding steady. One would expect that if BlizzCon is to be what we think it's going to be this year, that there will be incredible new hype and excitement and games to possibly buy in the nearest of futures that will make them do more than just sort of tread water. So. We'll see how that goes. They did not mention StarCraft in this at all, even though I think some of the esports stuff going on with that right now is freaking spectacular. But I don't know if it makes any money. And then the other thing I think is really cool right now, what was it? There was something Blizzard was doing that they didn't mention here. Oh, you know what? I have it later. We'll talk about it later. It's a Diablo thing. Don't worry, we'll get to it. Any thoughts on these earnings calls? Anything of note?
No, I mean, we knew it's going to be a weird year for Blizzard. We knew it was going to be a weird year after last year's BlizzCon being not great, and then the layoffs, and then the gutting of a lot of their esports stuff, and the fact that we knew there were going to be no major releases this year.
Yep.
Outside of, you know, Classic and eventually Warcraft 3 Reforged, which I keep forgetting about, and I still think it's very weird that that's coming out after Classic.
Oh, yeah. Where's the release date for that damn thing? That's weird.
Oh, God. What was the... I don't remember now. Because there wasn't an official release date. It was just a pre-order, and here's the last possible
I don't know
date. It's supposed to be this year.
That's what they had said, is this year, but we haven't heard anything since that talk.
No, so, it's been nothing.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Patrick?
Nothing. It could be. I mean, the year is still quite
The year
long.
Is young. We have 5 months. Or something.
Yeah, there was also like
they could do it in like December. I doubt they're going to do it at the same time as Classic, right? They're going to space that out.
Yeah.
So
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm guessing probably fall.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm excited about that, and I'm also a little bit shocked, as is Garrett, that it's not here before Classic, because it seems like a perfect lead up. But also, it's such a graphically improved game. Maybe it isn't. I don't know.
Oh, dude, I don't care. That's how I wanted to do this. I wanted to replay through Warcraft 3 in the new remastered version and then go straight into World of Warcraft Classic to pick up where it left off.
I'm so not in the mood for RTSs.
That would have made sense.
Yeah. If that game was suddenly a turn-based strategy game, why would I be so much more excited about it? I'm just not in the mood for RTS these days. I don't know why. Either MOBAs have just become my RTS and that's it, so there's where all my brain power went for that, or like legitimately I've just turned a corner and I want turn-based everything. It's like I'm the mirror image of my 90s self where it was all RTS and all real-time and I hated turn-based and now I flipped completely. I don't know what that is. Can't explain it. Expect no one to know how to help me. Help me, everyone. Help me. All right, here's this. Let's talk about the rest of Blizzard. Stuff going on in and around the place. Sigma is out. He is in Overwatch now. Patrick is our resident Overwatch fiend. Have you played much with the man? And what do you think of him?
No. I mean, he's fine. It's fine. Yeah. The more important thing is the 222 queue.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about that last time.
Yeah, it's just
live now.
Yeah, we just haven't had. Has there been a lot of blowback or anything on that? Because
no, everyone's super happy about the queue, especially. Sigma is, you know, a new character, whatever. The 222 queue, everyone's super happy about it.
All right.
So
poor Sigma getting a little short shrift compared to a comp change. It's kind of hardcore. Hearthstone.
Well, I'm a lot of like my MOBA friends that are like wishing they would impose these things on the MOBAs they play.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind that restriction in.
So the reason they don't do it is that it kind of kills the potential creativity of team comp, which is one of the drawbacks. But I can understand that if your entire player base is just playing those in competitively, you need those comps anyway. Then, yeah, it's kind of necessary.
And there's enough. I feel like there's enough variety in the character selection that it doesn't really hurt. Like to have that split is okay because you still have a lot of choices within your role compared to.
Yeah, and I feel like let's say we did apply something like this to Heroes of the Storm. I feel like you could have wiggle room. Mm-hmm. So I think it should be like at minimum 1-3-1. So you should be required to have one tank. One healer, but I think the other three slots should have some flex.
Yeah.
Like you could then grab a second healer or a second tank or an off tank role because of the way that the heroes in HOTS works.
Sure.
I think you could still have flexibility within some rigid system.
And is the change in quick match it's not just competitive, right? It's everywhere except arcade.
So they're doing a kind of beta competitive season that's going to last a month.
Yeah.
And remember, since there's role, you have to choose your role now. You have three buckets of placements. You have three MMRs. So you have to do placements that are shorter, but you have to do them for all three roles. Mm-hmm. But they're doing that for the beta season now, and then it will be everywhere. In September,
but including quick match, or is quick match
everything?
Yes. Okay, I wasn't there. I just wasn't clear on that.
The only way to play, no role, will be a mode in arcade.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Arcade gets to be the dumb place. Hearthstone. Anything going on there? Still on the tails of a successful expansion launch. Things are going well.
Yeah. The meta has definitely been shaken up, and it looks like it's here to stay. I really like the meta right now. I think it's in a really good place.
That's good.
There's a couple things I think could be tweaked, but really right now I'm, for the first time in my life, anxiously awaiting the single player, because I really liked it last time. And
What's the deal? What's the skinny on when that's supposed to hit?
I can't remember if they've announced it or not, but last expansion, I think it was a 4-week delay from the launch of the expansion and single player hitting the game.
Okay. Well, I could hurry that up a little, because I am interested in that as well. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
In Heroes of the Storm, there's not a lot to say other than still successful Kira launch. She's been pretty great.
Kira was apparently more powerful than she was supposed to be. There was a hot fix 2 days ago to take down a really powerful bug with the level one talent everyone was taking.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I know that she was pretty OP. She seemed OP. Seemed like she could just about take anybody toe-to-toe and if she was alone with that character.
Her launch win rates in draft were actually below 50% win rate. But in the last week, it has crested over the 50% mark, and I would expect to see it slide back down after the hotfix, because her level one talent that everyone was taking was doing way more damage than it was supposed to.
Also, my prediction stands. Heroes of the Storm will get rid of loot boxes entirely and end up with some sort of battle pass, and I will gladly pay for it. That's my prediction. I know they have
a
smaller
team. I would love a battle pass in Heroes of the Storm. Please, bring it on.
It'd be amazing. I would love it in Overwatch.
It's probably a better way of making sure as many active players as possible give you money.
Yes, that, and also it's fair. It's fairer to the consumer, and it's just, it's something they can look at and they can say very clearly what it gives them, and they don't. There's no RNG or questions.
I do about that part.
I definitely do. I absolutely care about that. Like, I want.
Oh yes, you do, but I don't think the people who make that decision care.
I see.
They care a little bit.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Diablo 3, there is some news. There's a new blog post up about their plans with 3 moving forward. It, to me, sounds like a blog post set up to be a, here's what we're doing on 3, because you're about to hear about 4, and 3 will continue and have things to do, and we'll have these plans for stuff. But, you know, this is just kind of us over here now, because get ready for a big other announcement. That's how it feels. But it's also good. It seems like they have plans for additional items and armor and not just recycling of seasons, and they seem to want to do right, if, you know, for the legacy of that game, you know, short of the thing I wish they would have done, which is put out a proper expansion after their first expansion, which they canceled, the jerks. But still, seems like good news if you're still playing Diablo 3 or want to return to it. But it does very much feel like they're preparing the ground to seed Diablo 4 or whatever it'll be called. Diablo Eternal. No, Diablo Forever. Nope. Diablo
Immortal. Immortal. No, that's taken.
Oh, shit.
Goldfinger.
Diablo, you have a phone, right? That's what it'll be called.
I think it has to be Diablo.
Probably.
Diablo 4. It has to be Diablo 4.
What if it's just Diablo? You know what I mean? Like, reset.
World where, like Diablo 3's, the short-sighted failure of Diablo 3 in my mind is canceling that second expansion, because, like, it's still a good game. We could just keep going with it.
I agree.
So I could see it just being Diablo, because I think whatever the next Diablo game is going to have much longer legs than Diablo 3
has. It'll be a service. It'll be some long-term thing that lasts forever, I think. I think that's what they would do.
Yeah, more so than Diablo 3 currently is. I mean, it's still Blizzard. Like, they're still doing the Blizzard thing, which is just continuing to support it. But
what I would love to see is them come out with, as a thank you, sorry, a new character at BlizzCon.
Like a druid. Druid would be cool.
For example, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to happen, but I would
druid
love it.
Druid or Amazon would be cool.
Amazon
like
would be
cool. To hold us over until Diablo 4 actually comes out.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would do that. I'm already kind of feeling the itch again anyway, so it doesn't take much to get me back in playing Diablo 3. In the StarCraft, there's really nothing going on. Although I have a lot of friends trying to get me to play.
Watch the GSL, everybody.
Oh, that, yeah, that is amazing. The esports stuff going on right now. That, I mean, we were talking about this on Core, and I think I agree with Bo, probably the best esport going. Because it's such a combination of quick reflexes and twitch reaction and mental game. More than shooters, more than MOBAs, like more than all of that. Like, the strategic element is just, and as much as I sit here and say I don't want to play an RTS, I do like watching really good people play them. And the GSL is really good right now, so hear to that.
You will see no argument here. I think the GSL is the greatest esport in the history of esports.
Boom! Dropping the truth bomb, dude. Out of the way, everybody. Don't breathe in the spores. That was a good truth bomb. All right, where are we at now? Oh, I know. How about this?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, it is the town crier. Who is taking college classes, everybody? That's how old he is now. we got an email here sent to us at theinstance@gmail.com. This came to us from Florida Joel, or Shalix in AIE, says Scott, Garrett, Patrick, and friends, during your previous podcast, I was thinking about the characters that are Nexus-born. Possible spoiler here, but what if during BlizzCon, if we see a trailer with them in a new IP? Heroes of the Storm is the perfect way to slowly introduce us to new characters, environments, and backstories for upcoming IPs. Disclaimer, I have no insider knowledge. I'm just a dreamer who is ready to see Blizzard step it up again. 3, 2, 1, discuss. Also, P.S., thanks to all of you. Thank you for your community and allowing gamers like us to feel welcome and mainstream. You are awesome. Well, thank you very much, Florida Joe. That was nice of you to say. I don't think so, but I like his idea. Like, they're like sneakily backdoor introducing characters for new IPs via Heroes of the Storm. That's a cool idea, but I don't think so. That's not Blizzard's way. Like, if Kira and Orphea are part of some larger plan, they just don't do it this way. It's not Blizzard's thing.
Why introduce them in Heroes of the Storm rather than in their actual new IP? Mm-hmm. I understand that they could do it. I'm not sure I see the advantage of that because, I don't know, I guess you can get people excited in advance, and then when it's an actual game, they already know the characters, so they're a bit more excited. But I don't think it would be beneficial when compared to the surprise of a new IP and new characters and everything that you get to introduce. And
mm-hmm. I think I agree.
Maybe, but I don't see it.
Garrett?
Nexus-born heroes all look like they basically came out of Overwatch to me, so why not?
That's funny, because I was thinking about this the other day. Is it possible that you have that feeling because... I mean, we've had Blizzard IP and characters for so long that we just have had them living with us. So when you introduce something new, it's always going to feel weird for a bit. And maybe that's all that is. Maybe it's just a feeling of, well, it's new, so it feels like it's Overwatch because Overwatch is new. Do you know what I mean? Sort of.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess this is why. I guess this is kind of how like new Star Wars haters feel. Mm. Even though I've liked Star Wars since before I had a long term memory, I like the new Star Wars characters. I know there's a lot of people who are like, I just want my Luke and my Vader. And like, I guess this is how they feel. Because yeah, I'm like, I don't really care about your Nexus Born heroes. I just want more Arthas fighting Raynor. That's why I came to this game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I think this is never in a million years going to happen, but I do think it's a cool idea. Yeah. I mean, Kira like really looks like she could exist in Overwatch. So like maybe it's way down the line when they're like, you know, just playing around and Overwatch actually has a granule of a story. Tracer will open up a portal to another dimension and out will pop Kira.
Yeah. She'll come out and go, I feel your pain or whatever, and then start slicing dudes.
Yeah, no, she strikes, she has that vibe. She's very heroic.
Yeah.
And if Overwatch is nothing if not like Marvel for Blizzard.
Kind of, yeah, isn't it? Sort of. It's basically, yeah. It is. I mean, the freaking game that got canceled, Titan, was supposed to be their Marvel. Like, it was their chance to create a giant pantheon of superheroes in a unique space, and now it's Overwatch, and that's fine, but that's kind of what it is. Well, anyway, that's what we think of that there, emailer Florida Joe. We appreciate your email, though, theinstance@gmail.com. If you want to send your own comments in about this or any other subject, you are certainly encouraged to do so. That is theinstance@gmail.com. Before we get out of here, I always like to go around the circle and let people talk about any other projects they have going on. Like Patrick Beja, for example. He's about to end his vacation and therefore come back to the world of podcasting full time. Patrick, what's on the plate? What's coming up?
I guess we are going to be doing all the shows. Le Rendez-vous Tech, if you speak French and you like tech. Le Rendez-vous Jeu, if you speak French and you like games. And if you speak English, which I'm guessing most of you listening now do, there's Pixels, which is coming back, and we're going to be talking about Gamescom, which is starting, the announcements are starting early next week. So we should have a show, if all goes well, with Jocelyn from The Angry Chicken.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, I've heard of her. I've heard she does some really good stuff.
Yeah, she's all right. She's pretty rad. Yeah. I don't know about the people pretty she associates cool with sometimes, but other than that, just kidding. We love Garrett. No, that's awesome. I'm glad to have Pixels back in my life. It's a show I listen to, and it is indeed in English, I can confirm. I know no French at all. So do check that out, frenchspin.com. Garrett, anything going on in your end of the world there?
I think we had one of the best Angry Chicken episodes this week we've ever done.
Mm. Do tell. Why? What happened?
I highly recommend everyone go and listen to this week's Angry Chicken episode because we had Cora guesting.
Right.
Your caster, streamer, singer extraordinaire from the Hearthstone scene. But if you haven't heard, she just got hired by Blizzard. She hasn't started yet, so she was still able to come on and guest on the show as we had originally scheduled. But she just dropped so many truth bombs about what it's like to work in esports and kind of her whole trajectory from, being on Twitch to casting to now about to go and work on the final design team and make Hearthstone cards.
That's awesome.
So it was a really cool episode. I think we went to some really cool, deep human places. And I can't recommend it enough. So go listen to this week's episode of The Angry Chicken.
Nice. Amove.tv for that and all other things. Garrett, there's plenty there. If you're looking for more Frog Pants stuff, you can, of course, find it at frogpants.com. If you're looking for us, you can find us at theinstance.net. You can support us there. Hit the support link and check out the levels. We made it ourselves. It's homemade and it's rad and it's a great way to give back to the show. You get some cool monthly art. You get some rad stuff from all of us. Get digital rewards.
Bonus episodes.
Yeah, bonus episodes. That's right. We'll have another one coming up probably next week. Yeah, next week, right? This month is going too fast. I really don't like it. Anyway, so do that. We'd love it. We'd love to have you over there. Again, that's theinstance.net. And you can find us on Twitter, Scott Johnson, Not Patrick, and Garrett Art. More shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time.
Buxley may need an adapter. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about ghost wolves. Maui asks, Buxley, adult shamans can travel in ghost wolf form and appear to be adult wolves. When shaman are children, do they appear as ghost puppies? We do not speak of this. What? There's a follow-up question. It's from Maui. It says, no, really, I like to know. How did he... That's the first time... I guess I can answer this. But Maui, you have to keep this a secret. Ghost Wolf, as you've noticed, is a form that all shamans can run around as. And yes, young shaman do appear as ghost puppies. But what most people don't know, it takes a while to get to that point. We have to work our way up to that. Oh, this is so embarrassing. Okay, I'll just get this out. The order from easiest to toughest for young shamans to do is ghost sheep, ghost snail, ghost frog, ghost pepper, ghost bird, ghost burrito, ghost frog, ghost spicy pickle, ghost cat, and then ghost puppy. And even the ghost puppies are usually just chihuahuas. Okay, then, with additional training, adults can progress to ghost sloth, ghost rider, ghost wombat, ghost tree, ghost buster, ghost lion, ghost tiger, ghost bear, oh my, and finally ghost wolf. Remember, this is just a secret between you and me. Thanks for your question.
If you'd like to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. You can listen to the archives at AskBuxley.com.
Moo.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.